I encourage you to open your Bibles, if you'd like to, this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. We'll begin reading in verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. And the priest's custom was with the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come with a three-pronged fletch hook in his hand while the meat was boiling. Then he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and the priest would take for himself all the flesh hook brought up. So they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest servant would come and say to the man who sacrificed, "Give meat for roasting to the priest, for he will not take boiled meat from you but raw." And if the man said to him, "They should not really burn the fat first, then you may take as much as your heart desires," he would then answer him, "No, but you must give it now, and if not, I will take it by force." Therefore, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. This is just one instance when the priesthood corrupted the law of God. Sometimes they were guilty of taking more than they should from the people, or taking it at the wrong time from the people. The sacrifices that were offered by the people were commanded of God. Moses gave them commands to bring offerings, to bring the first fruit of their flocks to offer. And the priests then, the priesthood, their livelihood came from the offerings. But sometimes there were those who did not obey God's law as they should, the priests. And those priests or those working would take more than they should or at the wrong time from the people. You go over all the way to the book of Malachi. In the book of Malachi, he warns about the fact that those people had corrupted the service to God so much. The priest had corrupted their sacrifices. And they were so disheartened as far as their service to God, they were thinking more of themselves and taking more from the people or all the people than they should have. So God condemned that. But the lesson we'll look at this morning is not necessarily about the priest and the sins that they committed before the people and the wrong that they did from time to time to the people of Israel and Judah. But also this morning we want to look at the sons of Eli who made some mistakes, and specifically Eli, their dad, and some of the mistakes that he made and what prompted these young men to commit sin such as they did. What prompted them to go down the wrong road? Well, the father made some mistakes. And Eli, some of the mistakes he made is a good lesson for us today. And so let's study for a few minutes from 1 Samuel chapter 2 and chapter 3 about some mistakes that we as fathers today should also avoid, because the mistakes that were made by Eli were really devastating to his son's life, to their character, and to their relationship with God. Perhaps it seems that when we read the Bible, we see that if Eli had done some things differently, perhaps his sons had turned out differently. Perhaps if he had disciplined them as he should and restrained them as he should, things would have been different. So today on our calendars in the United States, it's labeled as Father's Day. On earth, we as dads, we have responsibility toward our children. And we need to learn to avoid mistakes that have been made in the past by other dads. And so this morning, let's take a few minutes and talk about fathers, earthly fathers, and the fact that many of us in this building here are no longer just fathers, we are grandfathers. And so we have grandchildren. And so the fact that we not only have children, we have grandchildren, we're still looked up to our children and grandchildren as a father figure. And so in that, we need to be the type of example that would be pleasing to God. And so I want to avoid the mistakes that others have made if possible, because I can look back on my life at this point and see that I made plenty of mistakes myself. So really, if someone wanted to learn from mistakes, they could look at Charles Senior's life and get some good lessons about what not to do. because I made a lot of mistakes. And I'm sure that some of you, as dads in the building this morning, might concede that perhaps there was a mistake or two that you made. I know perhaps there might be a few that would say that, well, I thought I made a mistake one time, but I was wrong. And so, that's the attitude of some people. I don't make mistakes. But we do make mistakes. We all acknowledge that. And so it's important that we as dads and fathers try to be the kind of person we should be. Number one, in obedience to our Heavenly Father and doing His will. And if we obey His will, then we're most likely going to be the kind of dad that we ought to be. But there's three things we'll look at concerning Eli this morning, specifically some mistakes he made, and hopefully we can avoid these in our life. Of course, Eli was a priest of God, and as I said, he made some mistakes in his life toward his sons, and we want to avoid these same mistakes today. Eli's sons did not know the Lord. Now, certainly, Eli had a responsibility to teach them about the Lord. So, it says in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 12 there that we just read, now the sons of Eli were corrupt, they did not know the Lord. Well, anytime a person does not know the Lord, or the Lord's words, or the Lord's instructions, then most likely they're going to go astray and do things that are wrong because they haven't been taught what's right. Well, Eli had a responsibility to teach his children. As a father, he had a responsibility and a duty to teach his sons the Word of God. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 9, and we see that the instructions that were given there to fathers in the household of the children of Israel was that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And so the importance of keeping the Word of God in front of our children. As dads, we have a responsibility to teach our children the Word of God. Mothers also have that responsibility, but Eli made the mistake of not helping his sons to know the Lord's Word. And so a mistake that we need to avoid today. So am I teaching my children? Did I teach my children? I didn't do a good job of it. I'm thankful for my children and the way they turned out. They are good people. And I'm thankful that all three of our children are members of the body of Christ and serving God. But the thing is that I could have done better. I made some mistakes. And my children realize I made some mistakes. And some of the mistakes I made was failing to teach them the Word of God as I should, as thoroughly as I should. Now, my wife took up the slack, and she's taught our children daily. She taught our children weekly. She taught our children continually, and I give her credit for that. One mistake I probably made over the years was getting in the Word of God, not getting in the Word of God, but being in the Word of God and teaching others from time to time and spending so much time in other people's homes and in sittings, in public places, in private places, teaching and studying and sharing the Word of God with others, when perhaps I should have gone back and took some of that time away from that segment and devoted it to my own children. So, as parents, we need to learn to prioritize our time. It's good to teach others. It's good for every Christian to teach others, our neighbor, our friends. But we shouldn't be teaching others at the cost of spending too much time with others when our children need teaching. And when you look back, Barry, and you see the hours and the days and the weeks and the times you spend, the nights you get home from work and you're gone for 5 hours sitting in someone's house studying the Bible with two or three people, and your children at home and your wife's teaching them, you missed an opportunity to share that time with your wife teaching your children. Both is important, but as parents, are we prioritizing and giving enough time to our children in teaching them? Well, another mistake that Eli made that we need to avoid today is that Eli did not restrain his sons. We mentioned that in the very beginning. He tried to reason with them. He tried to talk to them. He tried to confront them and talk about the situation, but it's too late. That they were full grown. They were set in their sinful ways. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 22 through 25. Now Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of a tabernacle of meeting. So he said to them, "Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. No, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father, because the Lord desired to kill them." So they didn't heed the voice of their father. So let's look at what Eli did. He made some terrible mistakes by not teaching his children the Word of God. And then he did not restrain them. Did not restrain them. And so children need to be disciplined. Society today would tell you, do not discipline a child with anything other than just an exemplary act. Give them some example to look at so they can see it. Don't really make them stand in the corner. Certainly don't bring on the belt of wrath on them. Certainly don't take anything away from them. Certainly give them everything they want and let them go as they please, because if you don't, we're going to arrest you and put you in jail. There are people today who do not like to see children disciplined. There are people today who don't like children, period. But as fathers, we are to love our children, teach them the Word of God, and learn to discipline them. Restraining a child is not necessarily tying them to a chair. And certainly it's not locking them in a room. And it's not tying them to a chair. We think sometimes of the word restrain, you think about, well, we're holding them back. We're holding on to them and just physically preventing them. Restraining a child comes with teaching the Word of God. That teaches restraint. When they hear the Word of God in their heart and they learn that sexual immorality is wrong, then they learn to restrain themselves from that, and they keep that activity in their life until they're married. Until they're married, they learn that. Where? From the Word of God. From a father and mother that teaches them, and the Word of God restrains them because they were taught the Word of God. And they learn from the example of the father and the mother. They see that the mother and the father love one another. And the children see that. So they learn to restrain themselves in life so they can find a partner that is fit, a partner that's good for them to take as a wife and a husband, whichever it is, and that they would marry, and that they too would bear children. So they're restrained by proper teaching of the Word of God and the actions of the children. They're restrained when they see the example of the dad. It's hard for a dad to tell his son to not exceed 70 miles an hour on the interstate when every time he hits it, he's 85 and 90. Because his son said, well, if he can get away with it, I can too. You see, example. We restrain our children by example, by teaching, and then by certain types of punishment. In the Bible, we see that children were punished in various ways. It may be that they're not allowed a certain privilege for a while that they've been used to. It's taken away to teach them a lesson that you can't do this and get away with it. It's not good for you. It's not right in the sight of God. So it's not allowed. And that's another thing children need to be taught today, is that some things are simply not allowed from God or the rule of law or morally. Some things are simply not allowed. That means, child, that not allowed means you can't do it. Not allowed means that you don't do it because it's wrong. It's not in the rule book. We're permitted to do by the rules, but it's prevented by the rules. So, teaching our children. So, we look at this and we consider what Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24. chasing your child while your son, chasing your child while there is hope, while there is hope. And do not set your heart on his destruction. Proverbs 19:18. And do not hold back correction from a child. Proverbs 23:13. There you go. Eli did not restrain his sons. Are we correcting our children? Are we teaching our children? Are we disciplining them? Also, he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Proverbs 13:24. So, other than a few times over the years when we would be working with a certain congregation or different places over the years, or perhaps we would find ourselves in a gospel meeting somewhere in another county, and we'd be at a gospel meeting for 5 nights, perhaps a Sunday and 4 nights, and we'd be there, and there'd always be children there that would want to play. And back in those days, 30, 40 years ago, children would actually went out the door and they actually played in the parking lot, like our brother was talking about the other night. Micah brought that up. They actually physically were active. They weren't stuck on cell phones or just looking at something electronically and don't know how to move or talk to a person face to face as we're facing today. But nonetheless, my point is that sometimes we would be at a gospel meeting and the service would be over and I'd be back at the front door, back door, whatever you want to call it, shaking hands with people, and sometimes there'd be 100 to 150 people there. And they'd be coming out, and here go the children, and here go my children, and here they are. They're playing in the parking lot. And I'm watching out one corner of my eye and talking to brethren as they come out. And then I see Jason, a good man. I see him with two or three other boys, and they're all four doing things they shouldn't be doing. Well, I'll ignore it for a minute. He keeps up, and then I just step off. And I go out, and I separate him from those boys. And I talk to him about what the problem is, and he can't do it. Of course, the boys, they stop, and they look. And then maybe another dad would come over there and get his son. And maybe one or two of them was never, their parents just ignored it. Just let them go. You see, children need to be told this action is wrong. This action is wrong. Just an example of those things. And then there'd be times over the years that our daughters would be asked to go somewhere by a schoolmate or friend, and I don't know where they went or how they lived their lives exactly, but we're parents. When they go out the door, you don't know what they're doing, but you trust them. But there were times they were asked to go certain places, and my wife and I would say, no, you can't go. Even though the majority of the class, the school class, or the 140 people in it, the majority of them were going to a certain activity, no, you can't go, because this is the reason why you can't go. This is the reason. And once they realized that a lot of those boys and girls got in a heap of trouble when they did go to those activities, the daughter said, you know, I'm glad we didn't go. So the point is that as fathers, do we love our children? Do we discipline promptly? Are we correcting our child? Are we holding back discipline? Or are we just letting it go? Are we ignoring it? Are we putting it off? Or are we being too slack? Or are we being too strict? There is such a thing as being too strict. Children have to have a certain amount of freedom, don't they? They've got to learn to get along and talk with others. So some parents make the mistake of just, they clamp down on them, and the child can't do anything. Then they get to be a teenager, and they've clamped down on them so much, you can't do anything. And I've seen Christians over the years that they wouldn't even let their children have anything to do with other kids in the community because they were not Christians. Good moral people. How are they going to learn to live in the world if they can't be around people that are not Christians? Jesus was around people that were not faithful. Paul was around people that were not faithful. And so it's not that we go and we